Arashar, the Amur Tiger, interview February 23, 2024. Hello again, my friends, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are happy and well today. I send you all a big hug. I am Murray. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. For those of you who are new here, Arashar, or Ari in short, is a 300-kilogram, over 3-meter-tall Amur orange tiger, who is one of the communications officers on board the Starship Avian 1, currently in low Earth orbit. This is not my first interaction with him, and it will not be my last. These are only a few of the many questions you sent, and they will be enough to cover many future videos with Ari's answers, because it is impossible to place many in a single video, so thank you for understanding. I am doing as much as I can here. I interviewed him on the evening of the 23rd of February, 2024, via video conference, through a big 3D screen, in a workstation which is part of Starship Talika's CIC, Intelligence and Communications Deck. I did not have him face to face, and I did not use remote presence either, although seeing and interacting with Ari using an ultra-high-definition two-way holographic screen is impressive enough. As usual, Ari arrived right on time, within the exact minute, the screen turned on, and suddenly I could see the impressive and intimidating Amur Tiger, in 3D in front of me through the screen, and behind him, an elaborate intelligence and communications deck, the equivalent to Talika's CIC deck, but on board the Avian 1. Sitting next to Ari, but slightly out of the screen's picture, I could see a bit of his assistant's arm, a young leopard cadet, called Kirai Kaikotsi, who is always joking along, and who was curiously peeking in my direction through the screen, now and then. After saying our mutual hello, I presented a surprise present for Ari, an overlarge keyboard of human manufacture we managed to get our hands on, and which is supposed to be the biggest computer keyboard in the world, in which each key is roughly 4 times the area of a normal key. Ari was very surprised at the gift, which we will send to him later today, and was noticeably moved and amused at its existence. He said thank you like 20 times, to me and to my Tejetan team who made the existence of the keyboard possible, and all this while Kirai was peeking and looking all the time, very interested in the artifact, while he accommodated his two paws as if he were typing, imagining he had it there with him. This gift opened the first question of my interview. Ari, do you still consider the possibility of having your own YouTube channel?
Following your example, I would like to open a YouTube channel very much, so yes, I still do consider it a possibility. However, there are many problems to solve first. As I have told you before, our hands are not fit for typing on a human-made computer efficiently, our fingers are short and wide, and our claws are always in the way, yet I will give typing a try with the new enlarged keyboard you gifted me. Thank you. We are under the same Federation restrictions as you are, which means we cannot talk, and we cannot share images, so typing is the only means of communication. As you know, connecting our computers to human digital ones is not only an interface nightmare, it is also illegal, according to the Galactic Federation. Typing human letters is slow for us, and insufficient for elaborate direct messages, and that's also one of the reasons why we decided to share our points of view through you and your channel.
Thank you, Ari. This leads to my second question. Was it your Amur people who developed cuneiform writing?
I understand that there is more than one type of cuneiform writing, and yes, on Earth at least the Sumerian most used version is based on Amur writing and lettering. Cuneiform writing was convenient for that pre-industrial society, at least the lesser developed part of it, because it was efficient to scribe letters by pressing a piece of wood onto a piece of wet clay. It is the human copy or adaptation of our writing, using one of our claws to scribble symbols not only onto clay, but also, as it is still done nowadays, by wetting one of your claws with ink and using it to write, as if it were one of your pens. After we have finished writing, we simply wipe our claw clean with a piece of cloth and some ink cleaning agent we always have at hand.
Do the Amma consider this new peace treaty with the Orion Council to be a positive twist of things, or do you consider that it could be another trick to infiltrate the Galactic Federation even more? Can you please tell us a bit more about your experience with the Atorthans?
Objectively, I do see it as a positive twist, and we do hope it is so, but things are never as simple, and our past experience has shown us that when things are too good and too simple, it is because there is some kind of foul play going on behind the scenes. Historically, the Atorthans, who were one of the leading races in the Orion Council, if not the most prominent one there, have said that they have turned to the good side many times before, only to regress into their old invasive ways. Then another group of them will appear in power and claim that they fixed the problem and cleaned their bad elements, claiming that they are now completely positive once more, only to be exposed once again and caught red-handed with yet another dirty manipulative scheme. Then the remaining Atorthans cook up another elaborate overstretched excuse for what just happened, and once again, they claim to be pure, positive, and wise. From our Irma point of view, we cannot see how a species that lacks emotions can be seen as positive, because they will automatically lack empathy towards emotional races. At the same time, they justify their actions with cold logic, which only obeys their interests, while they impose it on the emotional races, on the premise that logic dictates that it should be so. Emotional races such as Lyrians and Irma do not and cannot follow logic without emotions, knowing that emotions also have a logic of their own. Therefore, the concept of logic for the Atorthans and similar non-emotional races is incompatible with ours and the one of Lyrians, like you. The Atorthans have disrespected their own word too many times to be trusted. They must know that anywhere they go outside their stinking dirtbag, den of a planet, we will be there monitoring their actions. And they know very well that their beloved logic dictates that they better not piss off any Irma.
While Ari was saying these words, Kirai the leopard was making funny, long Atorthan-like faces from behind and to one side, making fun of them. Next question for Ari. Do you think the Cabal could implement another false bug event on Earth for mind control purposes shortly?
We think this year has a high possibility of them implementing their horrible show again. There are signs everywhere that they are cooking up another bug story. However, this is far from being the first time that they have implemented such a false narrative, and after they have done so in the past, it is followed by the imposition of new rules and regulations that are derived from that false event. But they have not implemented it again in the past. Immediately after they have done so, they leave some time to pass first, sometimes decades. Two examples of those same false bugs are the 1918 one, and then again in 1979. I know we cannot say the names here. They count on humans forgetting what they just did to them, so they may not implement one with the same strength as the last soon, but we cannot know for sure. Yet, they still may implement another variant of their scheme again this year or soon. Please be vigilant and highly skeptical.
Next question. In what ways do you supervise Irma starseeds, and how can anyone on Earth know for sure that they are one?
We monitor our starseeds using technology, from space, in orbit, and using drones, much like yours. And we also monitor our starseeds telepathically. At this time, and because of the Galactic Federation's rules you all know, we have no other means for communicating with our starseeds more directly, other than appearing openly in front of them, and in person, which has happened before, although not commonly so. We know where they are at all times, and what they are doing, although the help we can provide them directly is not much. They are mostly operating down there alone, under their own guidance and wisdom, fearlessly. After all, they are Irma too. One of the main characteristics of being on Earth is the uncertainty of your true identity, so the only ones who can decide if they are Irma in a human body or not are each one of you starseeds. It is a personal conclusion you must arrive at by yourselves, because of your affinity with what characterizes our people. You must be strong and Irma enough to take that responsibility onto yourself. You simply know that you are one of us, but knowing is not enough. You must also act like one, independently of the skin you are wearing. Be fearless, be feline and wise. Take action with strong, unshakable ethics and conviction to become unstoppable. Persevere in all your actions, and against all odds.
The next question is, how can people on Earth with a strong affinity with the Irma help you?
We are strong and independent people of the greatest culture in the galaxy. We don't need anything other than a hug from you all. We are well off up here in our ship, and we get everything we need from our supply ships. Yet there is something very important you can help us with. Please help and take care of all felines on Earth, especially those little ones who share your houses. Those you call house cats. They are us there. They are our star seeds, our souls on Earth. They are us. Do not let their small size fool you. And many of those do need a lot of help, because there is a lot of unfair stigma against felines on Earth, precisely because the cabal who is sponsoring all that cruelty knows they are Irma in a little body. That is what you can do to help us directly.
Do you have house cats, the little ones, on your planets, and are they your pets?
We do have them, of course, we do, and their star origin is planet Avion in the Vega star system in the Lyra constellation, as we are. We know that they are family, and they are like our little cablings who never grow up, and they consider us their parents, protectors, and providers. More than pets, they are simply family. And we have many of them on board the starship Avion 1, here with us.
The ARI interview will continue in the next video. I cannot make this one longer, or I will not be able to publish it for tomorrow. Thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing and subscribing. I appreciate it a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. Take care. With much love, your friend, Marie Soirou.